history.
So what I would say is,
I have a lunch meeting tomorrow in Athens, and you, Sandy, and Rusty are not invited.
I get it, but don't act like this is some slappy that don't know what's going on.
From now till 11, it's a whole new world of entertainment.
You're a skeptic, right?
Not generally. I think I'm just smart in general.
Yeah.
With Steak Shapiro.
Why is that bald man screaming, carrying on the wind?
And Sandra Golden.
Go get it.
Right.
Because what do I know other than you should just go get it?
Get ready, Atlanta. We're coming at ya. It's The Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Steak and Sandra.
And welcome to Wednesday's Steak Shapiro, Rusty Manziel. This is The Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for being with us. The fastest 2 hours in radio and our last show before the holiday, so we get a couple of days off, and a lot of football going to be coming our way, a lot of soccer going to be coming our way, for sure, and great to have Rusty here as well, who is knee-deep in the middle of the high school playoffs, which we'll get into, one of the legendary games you called the other night.
Crazy.
So let's just get this out of the way. I mean, so Oren sent you that note on that text, and I know you were calling Buford Walton, which, by the way, it one of the biggest high school upsets in
Probably 15 or 20 years. If not Blessed Trinity beating Trevor Lawrence that night, probably the biggest upset that I've ever been a part of.
Coming in, Walton didn't have the guns to be able to play with him. You didn't think, right?
Nobody thought that Walton could beat Buford. Now, I did help pick the game because I knew offensively Walton could score, and I knew that would keep interest in the game. But nobody outside of the Walton circle.
Yeah.
Thought they had a
Did they have any losses this year, Walton?
Yeah, they're two, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about number 6 team in the country. Number 2 on one ranking.
And they put up 40-something points, right?
Yeah, 42. Yeah.
So why did you diss your boy Oren, though, who sent you that text as he was watching the game?
Here's what happened.
I mean, because that's –
my phone started I used to set my – you know, I set my phone beside me.
Yeah, no.
And my text messages started blowing up. I literally I had to turn my phone over and make sure I was dialed in to what was going on. Because I was watching our logins. It was California. It was Texas. It was Seattle, Washington.
Everybody wanted to watch that game.
When the third quarter started.
Is that the biggest rated game they've had?
Not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close. And I got good buddies at GPB. Their game was 36-0 at half.
Right.
31. So everybody.
What did that win mean to a program like Walton to be able to go beat Buford? I mean, was that just, you know.
I mean, listen, Walton's done really good job, but you're talking about a dynasty. Here's a crazy stat.
Dynasty in terms of Buford.
Here's a crazy stat. Told Oren this morning. Think this is right. I'm pretty sure this is right. This is the first time Buford has not had a Thanksgiving practice since 1999.
Right, because they're out in the second round, which never happened.
Second round. Right. Never happened.
So are you going to text – if he texts you over the weekend, Oren, you think you'll get back to him this time or not?
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I was kind of hurt, so I might not text him back.
Listen,
now.
Rusty's getting
big. That's what happens.
Rusty's getting so big. Some guy on Twitter yesterday was talking about Rusty's like a legend, and he didn't even give us a mention.
That was Shannon Terry.
We're just lucky to be sitting here. Give us one day a week. That's all we can ask for.
Let me tell you.
That's all we can ask for, right?
I got ate up a couple people on the side text yesterday, and Shannon. I mean, Shannon started and created, sold Rivals, started, created 24/7, sold 24/7 Sports. I mean,
he gave you a beautiful shout out.
He's a great dude, man.
Okay.
I mean, great guy. Dude sold two companies for what, $180 million?
That's the guy that started,
and he goes to work every day at 5 a.m. still, every day.
Wow.
I mean, he's a dude now.
All right.
Appreciate him, everything he's ever done for me.
All right. So
he's no slappy, huh?
He is definitely not a slappy.
He is not a slappy.
Damn, no slappy at all. No.
So how are you doing? How's the fam? You got all the girls for Thanksgiving coming up?
Yeah, coming in tonight, tomorrow. My oldest one's coming in. She's 22. They do everybody gets together tonight. They go out they go to Harvest Moon tonight. Everybody comes back from, hometown.
This is one of the biggest nights out. I don't care if you're talking about downtown Atlanta, if you're talking about the city, you're talking about the burbs, the OTP, you're talking about – this is a night out. It'll start 3, 4 o'clock today where folks will say, hey, we're back in town. Meet you up at our local tavern, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to get after it.
I used to go to Cowboys in Kennesaw.
Oh, my God.
Hey, on Wednesday night?
Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
So you know what happened before? Do you know the story about Christmas Eve? So Christmas Eve for the Jewish folks, they started to have this event called the Matzah Ball, right?
Okay.
Which is
basically, I like it already.
Right, the Matzah Ball.
I like it already.
And then all the other folks, that was the one night you could go out and know that you had a chance, right? Because every little Jewish girl trying to hook up the night before Christmas, right, at the Matzah Ball. And then the word was out that it was the big night out. So then we lost our mojo. It was one night that we had a chance, right?
Oh, Target.
And then everybody realized Christmas Eve is the night to be out.
The Gentiles took over, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
The Gentiles came out?
The Goyim, yeah, the Gentiles.
What are you saying, Top Gun? It's a Target-rich environment?
Yeah, so the Gentiles started coming out and they blew our cover. But that became like one of the biggest nights out of the year.
Oh,
but
this
is another one. Yeah. The night before Thanksgiving.
Oof.
And I know your daughter works in the industry, right?
Yeah,
bar industry.
Yeah, she's,
and what
two
she
of
said,
them do. So it's tonight, she said, it's like at 4
Year's
o'clock.
Eve.
It's buckle up. Yeah, one of them's working night, one of them's smart enough to take off.
Right.
So
it's a huge night out in Atlanta.
They will start like
there's nobody
said,
on the roads. You noticed today?
I rolled in. I took the express just for practice today.
Right. Yeah. You're just doing reps.
Yeah.
You're just getting your reps in. Yeah, it's going to be a huge night out. We got a great show for the next couple hours. Rusty Rocks has the best albums for a long drive. A lot of folks getting behind the wheel, trying to avoid the airport and saying, listen, 4 or 5 hours are worth it to not have to wait in those airport lines.
Oh, my gosh.
So we got that going on. We got Atlanta Eats on radio, some of the best pop-up holiday bars all over town. You know, that's a huge thing.
Yes,
now.
I follow on Instagram all those. Nashville, Atlanta are popping up everywhere.
Right, they're all over the place.
Cool.
We got a big Hawks game coming up tonight with, you won't even believe how good – Sacramento's become. We'll talk about that. And, of course, Georgia Tech. Kirby, update you on the LSU-Georgia game coming up. So we have – this is going to be special today.
Some Georgia Tech. I'm going to go on the limb for Georgia Tech now.
So you got some information on their next head coach,
scoop,
maybe?
I believe. Yep.
Wow. I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for the next
Time to build the foundation of today's show with the top 9 at 9. Brought to you by 58 Foundations and Waterproofing. Trusted since 1958.
On the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
College football playoff rankings are out. No surprises. Georgia number one, clearly a consensus. Ohio State at 2, Michigan at 3. That will change after Saturday around 3:45 when that game ends, Ohio State and Michigan. And TCU has got Iowa State on Saturday. They're sitting at number 4. LSU sitting at number 5 with a great opportunity to go out and get something done and end up in the playoffs.
It's amazing after watching that Florida State game and thinking these guys are where they're at.
How about
think about how different they are from the start and beginning. And
well,
this is why he came there. That's why he came to LSU from Notre Dame.
Well, explain it, because
the level of athlete, the facilities, the ability to
go out and win a national title.
You can beat Alabama at LSU.
He hasn't even gotten started. I mean, think about it. You know what I mean?
He didn't have a complete cycle yet.
Right.
So you look at them, man, and LSU, and I know Georgia fans are.
You also realize how good Florida State is. That was no slouch.
Let me say something. Sandy from Lake Oconee.
She's excited. Sandy from Lake Oconee is excited,
Sandy from Lake Oconee, I guarantee, has got a little pep in her step talking about her Noles because they are playing well.
No doubt.
Yep.
They've had a signature butt-whooping Florida State, which means the loss to LSU had is, you know, listen, it's never good to have two losses. And I was just talking to John Frick. He says, if LSU beats Georgia, is Georgia out? And I said, come on.
No way.
Georgia will have one loss. Yep. Georgia's not out ever
right now. Not this year.
LSU is in.
LSU?
Certainly.
I would think so. SEC champs? I would think so.
And Alabama's got a road there as well, right?
They're starting to creep around the corner a little bit, and I think it's making some people nervous. I think people, and they've got to have a few breaks, but Alabama completely is not out of this thing to me.
Meanwhile, Garth Lagerwey replaces Darren Eels. I get the pronunciation right. He, of course, part of the signature franchise out there in Seattle. They have 3 MLS Cups. He has been a part of that franchise for numerous years, and he replaces Darren Eels, who left for Newcastle in the Premier League, as he will now be running the Atlanta United franchise, one of the most celebrated franchises in the MLS. And kudos. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking to him soon. Mike Connie, nobody knows more about the MLS than he does. And I'm going to literally walk across the hall and try to get a thumbs up from him to find out what this means. But big news for Atlanta United as well. Meanwhile, not good news for Atlanta. Shut out of the Final Four again. They lost the NCAA tournament Final Four in 2020 because of Corona, and you figure that's a lock. They'll get it right back. Not the case. Las Vegas getting the Final Four in 2028. Detroit also getting in 27. Indianapolis in 29. And North Texas, which means Dallas, in 2030. Atlanta shut out of the Final Four coming up.
We should get one back.
I don't understand.
We should get one
because
back
of
for
the
that.
Coronavirus. We lose our Final Four, and
we're not even scheduled for one.
Disappointing.
That's BS.
Very, very disappointing. Meanwhile, depth chart for Sunday's Falcons and Commanders game. Parker Hess, the starting tight end. A significant drop-off from Kyle Pitts, so you don't think he'll be back all year,
no,
right?
No, they're not going to chance that. I mean, if they're going in messing with that MCL, why would you – unless I mean, there's an opportunity to play
he's
off.
He's having MCL surgery. By the way, Parker Hesse, right?
Yeah.
Parker Hesse replacing him. Listen, if you thought they were running the ball previous –
they might as well run Oklahoma Wishbone this week. Right. Like just Jamel Holloway, you got some time left. Come run this thing for us.
What's the kid from Nebraska, Tommy Frazier?
Tommy Frazier was, oh my God. That 95 Nebraska team, we could talk an hour on that.
Right.
I watched the 95 Nebraska Florida game probably 100 times, and they absolutely destroyed Florida.
How about the Turner Gill team with, was it Turner Gill?
Went for two, right?
Mike Rozier.
Went for two. What was the center? What was his name? Yeah.
That was Irving Fryer's team also, right?
Yeah, they went for two. Lost that one, they went for
yeah,
two?
Yeah, and they went for two and didn't get it.
Yeah.
Miami beat them, right?
Yeah, they threw like three passes all year. One of them was a two-point play to win the national championship.
Meanwhile, more speculation around the Auburn head coaching job. Lane Kiffin met with his players Tuesday, told him he hasn't accepted any job. And that he told his players the focus is on beating Mississippi State. $500 sitting in front of Rusty Manziel. You push it to the left, it means he's going to Auburn. You push it to the right, it means he's staying. Where are you pushing it?
I throw it through that window to the left. I think he's going to Auburn.
You think it's still happening?
I think it happens. I think he has every opportunity in the world to shut it down right now. This is the biggest game of the year for these kids. And I think he's going. That's my opinion. Now, I think he's going to Auburn.
Meanwhile, the Hawks tonight in what is a special night, holiday night at State Farm Arena. Sacramento, the third seed in the Western Conference. Sacramento's the third seed, and Kevin Huerter is going off. Wait till you hear what Kevin Durant said about him. They're in town tonight. They beat Memphis last night. They got a back-to-back 10-7 Hawks, 10-7 Kings. D'Andre Hunter probable for tonight, needs to get back in the mix. Big night at State Farm Arena, and
they got Mike Bibby still.
No, Chris Webber, Jason Williams. That team. White Chocolate.
Oh my God, he played Randy Moss in high school. How about that?
In hoops?
Yeah. You think those two wouldn't hell on the court?
Hey, when we come back, how are the Falcons going to deal with those guys? We'll tell you who those guys are, and we'll ask Wes Durham that question when we come back. About 7 minutes. It's Steak. It's Rusty Manziel. It's the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Steak. That's Rusty Manziel.
Tune right there, man. Outcast.
This is the Steakhouse.
The back of the bus.
Question is, does Outkast make Rusty Rocks? That's coming up about 10:20, which is the best road trip albums, right? Road trip albums.
I had to make the biggest decision of today on this particular album right here at Outkast.
Wow.
Whew.
I know, it's hard. Rusty Rocks, if you don't know, it's our segment. Rusty breaks down something in the music industry. He's had give me some of the categories already.
Man,
best Southern Rockers.
Best Southern Rock. My Mom's Still Mad. We've had best R&B artists. Best Skating Rink songs. Best Tailgate songs.
Yeah, best Pump Up Gone song. Too Soon.
Gone Too Soon. Yeah, right. Artist. Yep.
So today it's Best Road Trip. You got a long trip coming up. Anybody headed to Hartsfield-Jackson, love to hear. If you're listening on the app even more, you get a bonus. I'll buy you breakfast at Jay Christopher's, whatever it is. How's Hartsfield-Jackson today? Love to get an update. Remember, they have a new area to go through security on the lower level of the airport that they just opened up for this week, which is really cool. Check us out on the Odyssey app. Go to Odyssey, odyssey.com, and hit Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great app. And
that's fantastic.
And you can listen to every segment of the show. Just break it out. You know, just go right to Rusty Rocks every Wednesday.
You know what I do on Friday night? Sam Crenshaw and Chris Parker do a high school football show on 92.9. So when I get in the car and done, I'll go back and listen to those guys on the way home.
Okay.
And their review. It's incredible.
Well, what's your game this week?
Great one. Calvary Day at Cedar Grove. It's number one versus number two in the state of Georgia. Cedar Grove, four out of the last six state championships.
That's 7A, 6A? What's
that's
that?
That's 3A.
Oh, 3A, okay.
And this is like multiple high-level Ohio State commits.
Where's that game?
It's going to be at Buck Godfrey Stadium. It's over here. It used to be Panthersville in South DeKalb.
Okay.
Calvary Day, 2024 quarterback Jake Merklinger. Everybody in the country, this will be the first time they've seen him. Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, everybody's on him.
But that Buford-Walton game was the biggest number you guys have ever
not
had.
Not even close. And we had set records 4 weeks in a row.
Right.
And I guarantee you, I hadn't seen the numbers yet. There's no question.
How many kids will play next level, play on Saturday's college football?
This week?
That were in that game, Buford and Walton.
Man, Buford has probably 35 or 40 kids with P5 offers. They have freshmen that's not playing with P5 offers.
They got 35, 40 kids that are getting offers?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Let me tell you something. This quarterback for Walton, Jeremy Heklinski, he is a junior quarterback. He has offers from Central Florida, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern, a few others. When I tell you this kid was dialed in, and I can't tell you what he had written on his wrist for language issues, but he meant business.
Right.
And he
went out and beat the number one team.
And he made some throws, Stake, that were, I mean, I talked to some Buford people, and they were like, look, he beat us.
Right.
I mean, this kid threw for 335.
How much fun was that, calling that game? That must have been awesome.
I tried to, because I tried, when I turned my phone over, so I got to stay in a moment. I've got to.
No, I get it. Listen, you dissed us yesterday on Twitter. You dissed Oren. you dissed him on Friday night. I get it. There will be repercussions. We don't have time right now. But you know there's going to be repercussions.
There is.
You know that.
Let's focus on a later day with Drew Butler. Let's get all that negativity toward Drew Butler.
Yeah,
today.
No, he's coming up.
Focus,
he had an 0-4 week.
We're
going to
talk
to
Drew Butler.
But we're talking to Wes Durham right now. He's the voice of the Falcons. Big game coming up. We're talking to him prior to the holiday. Wes, happy holidays to you, and thanks for coming on a Wednesday. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Always a pleasure, Stake. Rusty, nice to be with you, man.
Yeah, Wes.
Met your daughter about a year and a half ago, I guess. She was toying around with getting in this business, huh?
She's doing that, and let me tell you something. That is the five-star of my family. So she's got some good news coming up for her here soon, and I'll let her announce it when she plans it. But super proud, man, and Wes, big fan. Listened to you for, man, many years, ACC Network, and you name it. I've listened to you, man, so glad to be connect with you.
Just means we're getting old, my man. Just means we're all getting old.
Wes, am I right that you're calling Michigan, Ohio State on radio for the biggest college football game in the land coming up this Saturday?
No, I did Michigan, Illinois last week.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, but you did it for radio, right?
Yeah. That's the awesome.
First time you called a game in the Big House, right?
Yeah, first time, and I had been there in 1998, actually stood on the sideline to watch Tom Brady beat LeVar Arrington, Brandon Short, and Penn State.
Wow.
And I stood on the sideline at Michigan Stadium, which is still one of the most unbelievable experiences I've ever had doing anything sports-related. And then, last week through a circumstance of change and things like that involving some other folks, I got asked on Wednesday if I'd be interested in going to do Illinois and Michigan in Ann Arbor. And I said, well, sure, why not? Let's go. And fortunate to work with a great crew. Kelly Stauffer was terrific. Ian Fitzsimmons, Stake, you know, is one of the best in the country. So
you got a great game. You got a great game, too.
It was a great game.
Wow.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
A phenomenal game. 18 degrees with a wind chill down around 11. So it's, we had all the elements, all the environments you would expect for Big Ten football and high stakes. But I think the game Saturday in Columbus is going to be, I think that'll be lights out. That's one of the premier games of the year anyway. And now with the circumstances in the CFP, I think it'll be terrific.
Yeah, we were in Ann Arbor, me and my daughter, 2 weeks ago. I mean, the conversation about Ohio State in that town and the conversation about that team and this game, I mean, you could not have the stakes any higher. We'll get to the Falcons in a second. But you talk about a game that means everything. That Michigan-Ohio State game coming up is going to be epic.
Yeah, well, and essentially what happens in the college football playoff era is that the loser of the game is going to be out. that's the way this is going to work. I mean, unless all hell breaks loose behind them, the team that loses the game, even if it's like a 1 or 3 or 5 point game, especially if Michigan loses, because Michigan doesn't hold up in the committee room from an analytics and a metric standpoint. And that's the part you have to remember here. So now you're almost doubling and tripling down, right, into the whole thing. You know, the path for Georgia with a loss is entirely different for the path of Michigan or Ohio State if they lose with a loss.
Yeah, because
I think it's important for people to see that when you watch that game Saturday at high noon, that is a game that in 60 minutes somebody's year is going to be made or broken. It's pretty simple to me.
Yeah, the notion that regular season means less because of the playoff, not the case in that game because, like you said, it is an elimination game and a regular season game. So,
yeah,
phenomenal noon, Michigan, Ohio State. All right, let's get to a tall order more and more so. Yeah. It's always classic when – and there's nothing that's a bigger pet peeve than when folks look at a schedule and go, that's winnable, that's a loss. That nobody could have thought the Commanders would put it all together the way they have of late. This is a stout team the Falcons are dealing with coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, no question. And I think it's maybe one of the best defensive fronts, if not the best defensive front they've seen all year. Because Chase Young, I feel confident somewhere along the way here is going to be activated. Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat. And then you forget, Efi Obada broke through, you know, a couple of years ago in Dallas, had a terrific year. I mean, you know, James Smith Williams, I think, is one of the real understudies of this team, because when Young's been out, James Smith Williams, the third-year guy, has just been terrific at defensive end. And then you got Jamin Davis and Cole Holcomb at linebacker, Bobby McCain in the secondary. I mean, you've got guys all over the field that just make plays. And so Atlanta's going to have to run the football and be patient running the football. And I think the other aspect of this is Washington now, and give Taylor Heinicke out of Collins Hill High School, right, Rusty?
Absolutely.
A lot of credit.
I was just thinking about that one thing. Yep.
I mean, he has become a guy who everybody thought was a 2 or a 3 in this league, and he's become a steady 1 so much that they're not even going to pull the trigger on Carson Wentz to play. They're going to let this guy play it out. And Heinicke's ability and poise to make plays in the pocket state has really been impressive. And in all honesty, they run it fine, but he's got Terry McLaurin and Samuel and Deami Brown. I mean, he's got guys that can make plays, and he's got a big offensive line in front of him. And I don't think any of us who, you know, followed Ron Rivera's path with the Panthers are going to be surprised at this. The guy knows how to build a team. He knows how to create a team model. And you know what? When they beat Philadelphia the other night, in some respects, it wasn't close, right? And so I give Washington a lot of credit in the chaos of the ownership situation there. Rivera and this group in the locker room have done a really, really good job.
Wes, with my background, I watch games and State kind of laughs at me sometimes. But when I see Lorenzo Carter, Norcross, I see Grady Jarrett, yeah, Rockdale County, and I see Justin Fields of Harrison, I see three high school kids I covered. Talk a little bit about Lorenzo Carter, what he's done, what you've seen. One of the most athletic kids. I tell people all the time, he was a basketball kid until his junior year in high school. He couldn't bench 185 as a junior in high school. Now you look at him, and that's a grown man. Tell me what you've seen at Lorenzo and his development this year.
Rusty, I think he's one of the guys, and Arch has said this at the beginning of the year, and I think it's paid off for a guy like Lorenzo, and I think it's paid off for a couple of others, but he was one of the 8 or 10, 12 guys on this roster that showed up who probably had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, right?
Yes.
At one piece or one form or another, in his case, the rookie deal, he was kind of coming to the end here, and they got him on a short deal, an impactful deal, and if he played well, he was going to benefit from it. And I think he has played well. In terms of athleticism, you've seen the athleticism. I mean, the pick six against Carolina, the recovery of the block punt in Los Angeles. I mean, all the things that Lorenzo Carter can do, he has shown you. And he's also impacted the game playing at two different levels for Dean Pease defensively. Not only did they ask him to rush the passer, they ask him to drop in coverage occasionally, things like that. Now, he's got to be careful of mismatches, but I think he's had a nice homecoming, as I like to say.
Yeah,
that's the one thing for me.
Yeah, they'll be hard-pressed to not to think about bringing him back, because he has had moments that really have impacted games, and you could argue maybe one or two games for him. Finishing up, 30 seconds left, Wes. Obviously, Kyle Pitts going down, huge injury. Yeah. However, it really does not change the way we're going to attack our final, you know, six-game stretch here. More of the same, more of pounding the football and just trying to handle Washington up front in terms of running the ball.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll say this, Stake. I think it'll be interesting to see how Arthur and Dave Ragone and these guys draw up plays now to free Drake London or maybe move Cordarrelle Patterson out into the slot area. Because the one thing Pitts did was take guys with him in routes. So you got to find a guy that can at least, you know, give you the allure that you're going to, you know, be a problem in the pass game. If it's Patterson, if it's London, you know, how do you find other ways to run the ball knowing when you put Kyle off the formation, you know, you were going to take a guy, maybe a guy and a half on every snap. I think that's the challenge they've got to face certainly coming forward.
Yeah, that's the word. Big challenge coming up on Sunday. Try to get to 500 and try to possibly be back in first place. Wes, look forward to the call. Have a great Thanksgiving. Best to you and your family.
All right. Take care, guys. Be well. Thank you.
He is, voice of the Falcons, Wes Durham. Falcons and Washington right here on this radio station. Home of the Falcons, home of the Hawks, home of Atlanta United, all in the news today. Hawks at home tonight, huge game against Sacramento as well. And Commanders are going to be a beast to deal with on
that
Sunday.
That defensive line, you're talking about Montez Sweat. I look out and see Stone Mountain over there, kid from Stevenson High School. He's going to be he. I bet he has extra juice to play at
every
time.
Yeah, if it was in town, even more so. But
absolutely,
that is a big test coming up. When we come back, Rusty Manziel will tell us that no matter what happens on Saturday with Georgia and Georgia Tech, the Yellow Jackets have their guy. If you are a Tech fan, wait 7 minutes. You'll find out the future of the head coaching job on the flats. That's what I'm telling you. Stick around. Odyssey.com, the Odyssey app. Stake, Rusty, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak Shapiro, Rusty Manziel. So happy you're with us on the Steakhouse and wishing you and your family all over Georgia and all over the folks listening around the country on our app at 92.9 a happy Thanksgiving, a wonderful holiday. So much to be thankful for. We appreciate you spending time with this radio station and spending time with this show specifically. And great to see Rusty here. We'll get to his discipline later on in the show. I mean, poor Oren, who, you know, he doesn't reach out often, but
man, it was late too.
To
man.
Get snubbed by
bad.
You, was,
I felt bad.
And then yesterday, you had this tweet about how thankful you were, and you talked about. I mean, you must have listed like 20 things. And I didn't see the Steakhouse anywhere. So we'll get to Drew Butler too. He's got his own issues, but this is part of the process. You understand that, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've talked about 92.9. I've talked about the Steakhouse.
No, I know.
And when you get a guy like that, in all seriousness, like I don't talk to Shannon.
Explain who he is, and I'm just
okay.
Kidding,
Shannon,
obviously.
Shannon Terry started. He started Rivals, sold it first, turned around and bought it back. And you can Google
it. And did it start as a recruiting tool around the country? Is that what it started
for? Yes, as the internet exploded, he lived in Nashville. He was an Alabama fan. He couldn't get information until the next day the paper came out. So he basically just hired a little worker at Alabama and started putting stuff out on the internet every day, and that's how it started. I think they sold it to Yahoo for like $98 million. I think you can Google that.
How long ago?
I think he started in 95 and sold it in 2007.
So
he had a three-year non-compete. He sold it to Yahoo. So he had a three-year
non-compete. So $100 million 20 years ago.
$100 million 20 years ago.
Wow.
So then he turns around, has a non-compete for 3 years. The day his non-compete was up, I think May 1st, 2010, he started 24/7 Sports. He took 24/7 Sports to the top of the recruiting media fan sites in no time. Sold it to CBS Sports, who owns us now.
Right.
Worked for about a year. Stepped away. I'm assuming he had a non-compete.
Right.
I'm assuming his non-compete's up now.
When did he sell it to CBS a few years ago?
2018.
So he's done well.
Oh, yeah.
And he threw you a huge shout-out, said wonderful things about you.
Yeah, I only worked for the guy.
As we all know. So kudos to you, and it's great that we've been able to spend the football season together. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the Georgia Tech. Is there a coaching opening or not as far as Brent Key? We'll get to that in a second. Obviously, the Thanksgiving holiday. We'll put it out on Twitter in a second. This is one of the big nights out of the year. This is kids coming home from college. Oh, man. Haven't seen their high school buddies.
My daughter's going out with her friends tonight.
Yeah, this is an all-time. This is family coming back in town. Yep. You know, normally I have my brother in town or my mom in town. I know she listens on the app at 92.9. They're not coming this year. They're staying up north. But this is a night where I would always grab my brother and a couple of buddies and say, we're going to Hal's.
Yeah.
We're going to Johnny's. We're going to, you know, hit the circuit, if you will.
Sure.
Take you around Atlanta.
Porpsey?
That?
Porpsey and those guys?
Porpy, Dogsy, Tepper T, Dino, Johnny, Chemo. That's all my crew. So that's always a big night out.
That sounds like a 30 for 30.
Yeah. No, it's – no, dude, it's sometimes it's good that we're not together too often, maybe once a year. We eliminated – by the way, we made a decision – because we have a boys' trip every year, and it was New Orleans or it was Vegas, and we did a 50th birthday party in Vegas. We decided we cannot go back to Vegas. Now we go to Arizona. Well, not together. Not together. So now it's a golf trip to Arizona,
Scottsdale.
Yeah, it's Scottsdale. Yeah. Which listen, that's not the minor leagues.
Oh, by the way, that's number one bachelorette party place in the world.
Right, but no. Listen, it's not AAA, but it's not. You know, it's not the All-Star game.
Sure.
Vegas is the All-Star game. Have you seen that hotel in Vegas now? The sports book outside by the pool?
I've seen the pictures. Where they have the gigantic TVs.
So that's in downtown. If anybody's been there, you're sitting in the pool, and there are these massive movie screen TVs. It doesn't matter how light it is or how hot, middle of the summer. The most ridiculous sports book in the world.
Nuts.
Those photos are just...
That's crazy, man.
Can you imagine... On like a September day when it's like 90s and the NFL kicks off at 10 a.m. and you're sitting
there. Back to back, do Saturday and Sunday.
Right, college. Right, sorry.
I mean, you go back to back.
It is crazy what's going on. If anybody's been there, give us a shout out. But I am putting on Twitter. Give us your local watering hole. Like shout out to local places.
Yes.
Whether you're in Rome, Georgia, or Cartersville, or Decatur, or wherever it is.
Wherever.
This is a night, right? This is one of the big drinking nights of the year. So we'll give a shout out to that on Twitter. Follow us at Manziel247 at Steak Shapiro.
It's time to tailgate.
No, we tailgate.
Taking a look around the world of college sports.
This is the tailgate on the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
There is no denying the job that Brent Key has done over at Georgia Tech. He's 4-3 in the
Great
ACC.
Job.
He's got road wins at Carolina and Pitt. And the conversation, I put a tweet out yesterday that has exploded with comments. Hundreds of comments about whether or not he gets the full-time head coaching job, or does new AD Jay Blatt decide to go in a different direction? What are you hearing, Rusty Manziel?
I talked to a lot of people in this circle, kind of around this circle. What I'm hearing going into this weekend is Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina. It sounds like he's their guy. Is it done deal? Some people tell me it is. I don't know that. 100%.
They've had their eyes on him. Obviously, the conversation happened.
He's done a hell of a job.
So if they hire him, what do you expect of a guy? What does he run as an offense?
So here's kind of the connection. Don't want to get Georgia Tech fans freaked out. He does run a modified triple option, but he throws the ball a lot more than Paul Johnson. He does a lot of everything. They are explosive on offense. A lot of people have visited with him from bigger schools because of that offense is so innovative and in what they do. So he will give you a lot of triple look, but he will also throw the ball a ton more than what Paul Johnson did. So I could see kind of the people that wanted a triple, he does bring some of that back.
Listen, they're a 35-point underdog. If they won the game, would Brent Key get the job? That probably would change everything. Don't expect, obviously, Georgia Tech to beat the number one team in America. But all indications are that they're going to go possibly in a different direction. And as I've been saying, they didn't bring Jay Blatt in to keep the status quo and to keep the guy there.
You get your guy.
He's going to go get your guy.
But I'll tell you this, Brent Key, you have to keep him, in my opinion.
Yep.
He has the option to leave if he wants.
But
he
has
absolutely.
Give him a big fat raise.
He has this forever on his resume.
Right.
For what he did.
That's a great point.
Forever on his resume.
There aren't many wins bigger in America than them winning last week with a 3rd- and 4th-string quarterback. At North Carolina, in a game that meant everything to Carolina.
Down 17-0.
17-0, and Carolina doesn't score again. That's what that defense did in
down
that game.
Down 17-0. You talking about those kids fighting your ass
I'm
off
I'm going to tell
him?
You something. At 17-0,
impressive.
You would have expected to turn back to if you weren't watching the game, turn back to ESPN.
34-10.
Yeah, I was going to say 51-3. I mean, sure. Just like blowout city, it was the opposite. They didn't score again in that game, North Carolina. Meanwhile, Kirby Smart, he hates the 35-point number, I'm sure, in a rivalry game, and he talked about so much.
So what's relevant to them is that probability doesn't equal reality, and you can't go off probability. These games are decided on the grass, not on paper. And if we learned anything last week is that probability doesn't equal reality. So you got to go out and play good.
Probability not equaling reality, not just Georgia Tech beating Carolina, the way Michigan had to survive, the way that TCU had to survive, the way Tennessee gave up 60 points. I haven't talked to you since then.
Shocking. Shocking. They shredded them. Like, it was like every – okay, so they had 12 offensive drives. They scored 9 touchdowns. 2 drives, stake, ended halves. So they ran out of clock. They punted one time. South Carolina punted one time in 12 possessions.
How about the fact they didn't score an offensive touchdown the week before?
South Carolina. That is nuts.
What does that mean to Shane Beamer and his program to have a night like that on national TV on ESPN?
Oh, my God.
And put up 60? Because guess what? Everybody was looking to see Tennessee that night. And guess what they saw? Yeah. They saw an atmosphere in Columbia with those fans under the lights and scored 60 points. You know better than anybody what that did for Shane Beamer and that program.
That's why Georgia fans are absolutely pissed they didn't get a night game in Athens this year. Because those atmospheres, you can sell recruits. You have so many people there. It's invaluable. And to win those games, that will pay dividends for South Carolina in recruiting.
A couple of other quick notes. Ohio State and Michigan, your thoughts on what's going to happen. 7.5-point favorite, Ohio State. Why are they favored by so much? What do you think happens?
They're going to roll them. They're going to beat Michigan. I think they're going to beat them 12-14.
Beat them like a drum.
They're waiting on this one. I'm telling you right now, this is Urban Meyer losing to Georgia and having to remind those kids what Knowshon Moreno did to them. They came in the next year, slapped Georgia around. I'm telling you right now, I've read some of the comments from Ohio State players, and they said they get reminders everywhere. Don't think that score and those celebrations, and Michigan earned every ounce of that.
And what Jim Harbaugh said afterwards.
And Jim Harbaugh
which is
said,
just talking big smack
let
after.
Let me tell you something. Ryan Day will leave nothing in his bag.
So you like giving the points in that game?
I would give Ohio State minus 7.5 right now all day long.
A couple of quick notes. December 5th, what happens? Why is that an important day?
It is the transfer portal opens, and it's going to be chaos. I think yesterday Alabama lost 5-star running back Trey Sanders. He's a graduate, so he can go ahead and leave early. Grant DuBose is the name people should know. He's a wide receiver from Charlotte. This is a great story. We talk about it one day. Kid was working at Walmart. Teammate signed. He got a workout. Charlotte signs him. He's a big-time target. I believe Alabama, Georgia, all the big boys, Ohio State, they'll go out and take a shot at him. Grant DuBose, the recruiting portal will be bigger news than the seniors in the month of December. It's going to be free agency.
I told you what Josh Pastner told me, what other coaches said. Listen, it's not even about recruiting high school kids as much anymore. I want to see kids have already played in college. I can watch the tape.
Yes.
Right. I know if they can play in college because I can watch them.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Totally different deal. Real quick, Hendon Hooker.
Awful deal, man. Non-contact. I mean, what that kid did, what he's been through, I don't care who you're a fan of. That dude was a baller. I hope he gets healthy and gets a shot. But I knew it. The media, it looked just like Todd Gurley. It was non-contact. He reached for his knee immediately.
What kind of NFL prospect is he?
Huge arm, smart. I would say he's probably still a fourth, fifth, sixth rounder, somebody.
All right, great stuff. That's the tailgate. He's Rusty Manziel. When we come back, the Thanksgiving tradition the Shapiros have taken on that every Atlanta family should do the same. And stick around. Oren is going to be in trouble with his in-laws, but we have no choice. We're going to try to save him. Thanksgiving is not looking bright for that young man. We'll explain. 5 minutes away. Odyssey.com, the Odyssey app. It's the Steakhouse. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.